Reformed Church.
Last week and for the past several weeks, we've been talking about, you know, the things that we have on the inside of us and how the temple represents that. The beautiful thing about the temple, which we've been pointing out, is that you can see clearly the gold on the inside of the temple. And we were talking about how that represents the treasure that we have in earthen vessels, right? And when you look at the temple, how we have every single good thing on the inside of us. Every good, every pleasing, and every perfect thing is actually the way that Romans 12 describes it. New King James says the word pleasing. And so that's what we have on the inside of us right now. When God looks at you, God is seeing a treasure in earthen vessels. As kind of a side note, the word treasure in the Bible doesn't necessarily mean wealth. You know, we use treasure kind of like, you know, for things like gold and silver and stuff. But the word treasure actually means like a deposit. Sometimes it can imply wealth, but it means a deposit. And so when the Bible talks about something being treasured up, for instance, it just means it's stored up, right? So a treasure in earthen vessels means you have something stored up on the inside of your earthen vessel. And just like before, we were talking about releasing that, right? And how it is on the inside of us, it is closed up at first, but then God's intention is that gold gets released through us. And in the past, that's why we've been through in the past the evidence that you see with the temple and how the gold does run out the door that way. And that's going to be a really important point in the future as well. But that's that good stuff that you have on the inside of you being just released through you, right? Because we don't need something extra from God. God just wants to release what's on the inside of us. God wants us to manifest who we already truly are in Christ, right? I won't bring you through all the references for the sake of time. 2 Chronicles 3:7 through 8, which you don't have to go to, it explains that the inside of the temple was overlaid, which says with fine gold, but that word fine means good or pleasing. And again, that describes the gold on the inside of the temple, which means that's a descriptor of the glory that we have on the inside of us. Furthermore, though, you can go to this one, 2 Chronicles 4:20. So one characteristic of the gold that's on the inside of the temple, it says that it's pleasing gold. Sounds like Romans 12, where he talks about every good and pleasing and perfect. All the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God is on the inside of us and just needs to be proven, just needs to be given evidence through us, right? Well, on top of it saying that there's pleasing gold on the inside, 2 Chronicles 4:20 says, moreover, the candlesticks, that which is referring to in this room right here, there are the candlesticks there. Moreover, the candlesticks with their lamps, that they should burn after the manner before the oracle. That's just another room of the temple. But it says that the gold on the inside was of pure gold. And that word pure, we went over last week, that word literally means, this is not even like, sometimes there's nuance to you know, different Hebrew words and stuff, and this literally means closed up, shut up gold. And it's no wonder why God took the temple and only lined it at first, right? At least I should say mainly. You can see the gold lining the inside of the temple. And that's why it's called closed up gold. It goes hand in hand with even visibly what's demonstrated. And just so you know, this diagram, it's important to know that there are some gaps you have to fill in, right, with the biblical record of it. But we didn't just make this model. This is taken after what the Bible says. So when I point at this, there are verses to substantiate the various things that you're seeing here, right? Which is very, very important. But one of those things that says that in 2 Chronicles 4, that it had closed up gold. And that what that means is, and so it's pleasing gold, and it's closed up. What that means is that everything that Jesus provided you is a real thing, and it's pleasing. It's already perfect, right? And you're already perfect in Christ. But the reason why we have to be so spiritually minded, and God doesn't want us to be carnally minded, but he wants us to be spiritually minded, is because if you're not spiritually minded, you'll never see who you are in Christ. Why? Because it's closed up. It's pleasing, it's perfect, it's good, but it's closed up. And if it's closed up on the inside of you, it doesn't make it not real, it makes it very real, it just makes it not visible to your eye. It's like looking at the temple from the outside. You know, you see the vessel, and you may not see the gold, and that's why God wants us to be spiritually minded so we can understand the pleasing things that we already have. You know, again, as Pastor Zay was saying before, all wisdom, all power, all the fruit of the Spirit that you see named there, and all the power of God, all those pleasing things are inside of us, but they're closed up. And again, I won't bring you to that verse here, but even in Zechariah 4:12, We talked, I won't go into this very much, but even it talked about the two witnesses, and it says that that they empty or they pour out the gold from themselves. And that's what a manifestation of the Lord is like. A lot of people attribute it to sort of like Acts 2, where the Holy Spirit fell from heaven, but that is not a manifestation of the Spirit in what we're talking about right now. That's when you receive the Spirit, you drink in the Spirit for the first time, but that is not a manifestation. A manifestation is coming from right here. This is how that once you're already the temple, the way the temple operates is you're just releasing, you're pouring forth the gold that is already, that's closed up on the inside of you. You're just pouring forth the things that you already have, right? And so we talked about all this last week. Now, in addition to that, though, there are different elements, though, on the outside of the temple that are not gold, different elements that are brass on the outside of the temple. You've got the 10 lavers here of water. There's 5 on this side and 5 on this side. You've got the 2 pillars here. You've got what's called the sea. This bowl is called the sea. And then you've got the altar of burnt offering over here. And these are all things that are made out of brass. They're not made out of gold. Now, again, it's going to be important in what I'm about to say to note that the gold is called closed up gold. It's God telling us, don't be fooled by your exterior. You are wealthy in every possible way, in ways that you've seen so far, and in ways that you haven't seen so far, in areas, you know, that you've realized so far, and in areas that you haven't even explored yet. You're wealthy and perfected for everything and competent in everything. But again, it's closed up gold. So that's going to be really important to remember as we go through with this whole thing of the brass elements on the outside. So let's see. First, let's just read. Let me just at least give you the reference in 1 Kings 7:41. 1 Kings 7:41. I'm just going to go through the elements real quick with you. 1 Kings 7:41 is the reference where you can find most of the things he names that are brass on the outside. And while they're getting the verse up, this may not be very important, but I think it's of somewhat importance to interpreting when you're reading the Bible. Brass, copper, and bronze. I don't see any distinction in the Bible between any of those three things. I found out actually that there's copper, and then brass and bronze are actually two sort of derivatives of copper. It's just copper mixed with another metal, with tin or with zinc, I think, that makes up bronze and brass. So I don't see any difference in the Bible. Actually, certain words, when you click certain words where it says brass, it'll say brass, bronze, or copper. So just so you know as you're reading, to not be confused if it's translated differently or something, okay? So King James says brass, though, so that's how we'll probably refer to these elements. 1 Kings 7:41, it says the 2 pillars and the 2 bowls of the chapiters that were upon the 2 pillars. So here are the 2 pillars, right, the close-up here, that are in front of the temple right here. Those are the 2 pillars and the 2 bowls of the chapiters. The word bowl is something that we'll probably talk about next week, because that's actually not a good translation, but the bowl of the pillar is kind of talking about up here. But again, I will interpret that word for you next week probably. Of the chapiters that were on the 2 pillars, the chapiter is just talking about like this kind of headpiece that's on top of the pillar. It says in verse 42, and 400 pomegranates for the 2 networks. This here is the network. You can see it's kind of like a net around it. I don't know exactly the shape of everything, but these are the elements that were present on the top of the pillars. Okay, again, the shape may have varied, and you know the placement may have varied, but you can see a net that's here. You can see these are the pomegranates that are on top of the pillar that it names there. There's 200 pomegranates on each pillar, 400 total, and there's 2 rows of 100. So there's 100 and 100. That's what he's talking about here. And then he says, for the 2 networks, even 2 rows of pomegranates for 1 network to cover the 2 bowls. Again, that's why this is referring to the bowl, quote unquote, of the chapiter, and the network is covering that bowl. Again, the word bowl is not a correct translation, but we'll go over that next week. Verse 43, and the 10 bases, and the 10 lavers on the bases. The 10 bases are these sort of carts. When it says bases, it's referring to the carts themselves. And then there was sort of a bowl of water, a laver of water, sitting sort of sunk in to that base. So that's what he's referring to there. The 10 bases and the 10 lavers on the bases. And 1C, which again is referring to this bowl of water here, which again you can find on this side of the model. It's right over here. That's the C. And 12 oxen under the seat, and the pots and the shovels and the basins and all these vessels which Hiram made to King Solomon for the house of the Lord were of bright brass. Again, that word brass, copper, bronze, whatever you want to call it, that's what they were made out of, okay? So you have these things that are clearly not gold, right? Now, last week, and well, really the week before in particular, I was giving you some ideas on what gold might mean. In particular, I wish I had this here on me right now, but I'd given you one sort of, let me see if I can get it for you. I don't want to take the time to do it right now. But basically, in the rebuilding of the temple, the Bible explains gold and kind of gives an impression that gold might have something to do with glory, because the Lord says, "The silver and the gold is mine." If you can bring that up, I think it's in Haggai. The silver and the gold is mine, and he's referring to the inside of the temple. Says the silver and the gold is mine, and then says that the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. And so that might give us some idea of what gold may imply there. At the very least, it can refer to glory, because God refers to the silver and gold in the temple and says that it's glory. Okay, so that's not the definition, but that just may give us a clue as to what roundabout what it may mean. Again, that's Haggai 2:8, and then you can go to the next verse. It says, "Silver and gold is mine," and then immediately says, "The glory of this latter house." So he's referring to this is a rebuilt version of Solomon's temple that they rebuilt later on. But anyway, you can kind of see that there. So then why isn't there gold on the outside? We see these various elements on the outside, but they're not gold. Well, that's because the gold is called shut up gold, and it needs to be released. Okay? That's why these things are not gold on the outside. But in particular, I want to show you what the word brass means, and it is just really awesome. This word is on our glossary right now, but I'm going to share with you. There's only three verses currently at the time of this recording. There's only three verses right now for that definition, and I'm going to read you all three of those verses. It's very, very cool. So bear in mind, closed up gold on the inside, and then you see this brass on the outside, and so we're going to go over that right now. So it says let's see. Leviticus 26:18. Leviticus 26:18. Again, this is on the glossary. If you want to review this later on, you can go to our glossary, reformchurch.com/glossary, and look at the word here. But this is just awesome. Okay, this is going to just confirm the fact that, again, God writes everything for a reason in Scripture, and it's all to testify about Jesus and what he's done for us and what we have in him. And you're going to see this right here. Leviticus 26:18. And it says, "And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins." Obviously, we're reading in the Old Testament, so that's what this is talking about. It's Old Testament punishment. Doesn't happen in the New Testament. But verse 19, it says, "And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass." So he's describing, he says, "I'm going to make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass," or your earth will be bronze. So what does it mean for their earth to be bronze or their earth to be brass? Well, he goes on to say, "And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase. Neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits." He called earth that's not bearing fruit brass. He called the land, the earth, that wasn't yielding her increase brass. Okay? So keep that in mind. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28:12. I'm sure you already have a view of what this is referring to here, with brass being on the outside of the temple currently. Again, he just said that the earth being brass meant the earth wasn't going to yield fruit. All right? Deuteronomy 28:12. This is when the Lord is going over the blessings and the curses in Deuteronomy. And so he at first starts out here in verse 12 with the blessing. And it says, "The Lord," watch the very important quote here, "The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure." Now, again, bear in mind, the word treasure here means deposit, okay? It means a deposit or something that is stored. So he says that the Lord, that if they had kept his commandments, again, this is the blessings here, that the Lord would open unto them his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain. So he's saying rather than the heaven withholding its rain, the heaven will open to them of its good treasure. So he's referring to heaven being stored up with rain, and if they keep his commandments, heaven not only will have this rain, but he will open heaven and it will release its good treasure that it has. Okay? Following that so far? This is not talking about heaven having the treasure or not. This is talking about he's going to make heaven release its treasure, it says. And that's why you can see that treasure here means deposit, not wealth, right? He's talking about the heavens releasing rain, and he's saying that what is stored up in heaven, I will release it to you if you keep my commandments, which we know what those are in this church. But he says, unto your, let's see, he'll open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto your land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations and shall not borrow. Okay? That's the blessing. Then he gives the counterpoint to the blessing, that if they don't keep his commandments in Deuteronomy, here's the curse that would come upon them in the Old Testament. Okay? This is not something that God's doing today, but this is the curse. Verse 23. So that was, heaven would release its good treasure, would open its good treasure if they obeyed the commandments. But in verse 23, if they didn't obey the commandments, it says, and your heaven that is over your head shall be brass, and the earth that is under you shall be iron. You see this? If you keep his commandments, he says, I'm going to have heaven open to you. Everything that's stored up in the heavens, I'm going to have it open to you. But if you don't keep my commandments, what would you think he would say? Heaven won't be open to you, right? Heaven won't release what's deposited inside of it to you, but he doesn't say that. He says, if you keep my commandments, heaven's going to release everything that's on the inside of it to you. And if you don't keep my commandments, your heavens will be brass. Put that together with the fact that before, the Lord called the earth not yielding her fruit as being brass. Brass is referring to, clearly here, brass is associated with something being closed up or restrained, okay? Not released, not opened. That's why a heaven that is over their head that is not opening to them and releasing its good treasure, the rain, is called a heaven that is brass. That's why the earth that is not yielding her fruit is called brass. It's not bringing forth. And a heaven that keeps what it has deposited in it, the heaven that keeps it and doesn't release it, is called a heaven that is brass. All right? This is why it goes hand in hand with what we're talking about here with closed up gold on the inside. The fact that these various elements are brass, this is what this means. Clearly, that means that these various manifestations on the outside are actually present with the temple. These things are actually present, but they are being restrained. They are simply closed up. You see, these things are, you see, because a lot of Christians assume that if they don't see something on the outside, it's because they need something or they feel inadequate in some kind of way. But the awesome thing, let me just give you a little preview of this, right? A lot of these, like these labors we'll go over later in the series, have to do with us teaching the gospel to other people, right? If you heard the Wash My Feet series, you can kind of see why a basin of water might look like that. This basin of water has to do with us being prepared to preach the gospel to other people, okay? This altar of burnt offering has to do, again, with the ministry toward other people. When someone actually gets saved, that's what actually this is referring to here. The pillars themselves, we're going to go over that again next week, but have to do with all manifestation that's coming forth from us, including ministry to other people. But this, in the Bible, these pillars, we'll talk about how they bear resemblance to the manifestation of the Holy Spirit coming out of us, and how, you know, wherever the Holy Spirit is manifested, things are healed and things live. So you've got the life of the Holy Spirit, the eternal life of the Holy Spirit, the activity of the Spirit blooming forth from us. That's what these represent. Again, I know we haven't gone over that symbolism yet, but just to give you a preview, we've got ministry to other people, competent ministry to other people, us ourselves being prepared to preach the gospel to other people. You've got all these manifestations here, and check this out. The reason why God makes them brass is because he's acknowledging that all these qualities are present with the temple, but they're just inside of it. These are all potential, the reason why they're brass is because they're potential manifestations that God can and will release through his temple. And you can kind of see how the gold is just starting to kind of come out of the temple there, but it's still in the process. It's the way that the temple looks is like it just started to release the gold. It's like it just is coming out. Again, more on that next week. But the reason why these elements are brass is because as we just read, brass doesn't mean that you don't have something. The heavens that were brass in Deuteronomy, heavens being brass didn't mean the heavens didn't have the rain. Look at that again in verse 12, Deuteronomy 28, 12. A heaven that is brass didn't mean that the heaven didn't have the rain. A heaven being brass meant that it would not open unto them its good treasure. Brass, the inherent in the symbolic word, brass or bronze, is it is present. It is in existence. It is just being restrained from being released. That's what brass means. I mean, I can't think of a more fitting metal, symbolic metal, to put on the outside of the temple than to have something be brass, because you can take this definition of the word brass. Just go to verse 23 just to show everybody again. Your heaven over your head shall be brass. And then go back to verse 12 again. But the heaven being brass, meaning that it's simply not opening its good treasure, like I said, is the perfect thing for the outside, because the fact that, for instance, this is a pillar that, again, represents the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We're going to go over how that talks about the life of God blooming forth from us. It actually inherent in some of these symbols is the goodness and the beauty of God being released through us, healing being released through us, the Spirit bursting forth from our belly as rivers of living water. All of this, the fact that it's brass, is God saying that healing is present with my temple. Even when it's not manifest, healing is here. You know, I was thinking on the way here, even in regard to healing or any transformation that you need for your body or for somebody else or whatever, it doesn't matter what it is, but like, how close do you feel to your healing? How close do you feel to your, whatever it is, transformation that you need on the app, how close do you feel to it? Because the fact that these things are brass, it's like a whole message in and of itself in just saying brass. Because again, brass means it's here, just needs to be released. So when God symbolizes with the pillars healing, when he symbolizes beauty on the outside, when he symbolizes goodness on the outside, the fact that he makes a symbol like the pillar, which is a symbol of beauty and the power of God and everlasting life being released through us, and makes it brass, he's saying, this very manifestation, this is what it looks like on the outside, and I'm making it brass to show you that it simply needs to be opened up. It simply needs to be released from you. And again, this is what we were talking about just before service as well. So I'm actually going to close up here. I know that we had a kind of a shorter time today. So I am going to kind of close up pretty much with just one more verse, I'll say. Let's just maybe just go to Romans 8:19, and we'll just kind of stop there. Romans 8:19. But because the word brass means opening what's deposited, that's something that is not opened, what's deposited not being opened up, it means that that's the only thing that's necessary for the Lord to do in our life from here on out, is to open up the good treasure from on the inside of us. And obviously we know that happens by faith. Next week, when I have more time, we'll talk about how that's opened up and how the pillars represent that. Because God says, when you do this, this is how you release these things. Obviously at this church, we know that when you believe, when you acknowledge these things, that just activates what's inside of you. But I love the fact that brass, man, means just, it confirms the closed up gold. The gold is said to be closed up gold, which means it's stored inside of us. And then the brass on the outside means here are all the potential manifestations that are just waiting on the inside of you, and they can be released because you already have them. That's like all that inherent in the word brass. Romans 8:19. This is, again, we've been through this verse here, and I will just have to close here. But it says, the earnest expectation of the creature. The creature is talking about creation. Creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. I'm not going to teach you that whole context, but we know, right, that when we manifest, creation gets the benefit of that. And it says, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That inherent is what brass means. Waiting for the manifestation. Because you already have it. So there's no point in waiting to get something. We have healing. We have the life of God. We have the resurrection of the dead. We have every good quality and every good word that ever needs to be spoken through us. You have it. That's, again, the definition of the word brass. And waiting for the manifestation is entirely different than saying waiting for the thing itself. In fact, when he says the sons of God, if you read John chapter 5, it defines someone being your father as you being like them. So you can also look in our glossary for that as well. But the word son means that you're like somebody. You partake of their likeness. So when he says we're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, this is saying that the only thing that would be possibly, that we'd possibly be able to wait for as believers is the manifestation of how much like God we already are. That's what manifestation of the sons of God means. And that's why you see inside, gold. Inside, glory. On the outside, brass, simply confirming the fact that it just needs to be released now. That's all that's necessary. The only thing that's necessary is not for you to be made like God, because that's what son means. We are sons of God. Now we're just revealing how much like God we already are. We're revealing, to reveal or to manifest your sonship means I'm just showing how much like God I am. That's what that verse means. And then he goes on in verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that subjected in hope. Verse 21, but the creature itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Man, that verse is really packed, and like I said, I'm going to have to close up right now, but when it says that the creature itself will be delivered from its bondage to corruption, because we know that all creation, right, is sort of subject to corruption, to decay, to death, right? And you see that in this present creation. But you've got to love the fact that when it says that the creation will be delivered from its bondage to corruption, there's a key word there, and that's the word also. It says the creature itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Also, in addition to who? In addition to us. We already have freedom from the bondage to corruption. We have freedom from decay, freedom from death, freedom from, which includes freedom from sickness, freedom from any, watch this, shall be delivered from its bondage to corruption, again, which is decay and sickness and all of that. And the reason why he says also be delivered is because it's going to share in the glorious liberty of the children of God. So the children of God already have deliverance and liberty from corruption. And in it, as verse 19 says, the only thing to wait for would be the manifestation of that. And again, next week, I know it's a short message today, but next week we will talk about how the temple symbolizes all of this and how to release these things and stuff with the pillars and all that good stuff. So anyway, like I said, I'm going to kind of have to stop with that. But it's just the waiting for the manifestation as you get to know what you have in Christ is a lot different than getting the thing itself. We are sons of God now. We already have deliverance from the bondage to corruption. Creation will also get it, referring to the fact that we already have it, but all that's left is to manifest the things that are closed up inside of us, right?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformedchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformedchurch.com.